I would like to welcome everyone in the precious name of the Lord. Let us take to heart what has been sung. Turn your eyes only to Jesus. Then we will no longer see ourselves. Then we will no longer see others. Then we will no longer see the problems, the circumstances, and whatever else may be. Then comes to fulfillment what is written in Matthew 17. And they saw no one but Jesus alone. May we be granted this view today. May we really be able to look beyond all difficulties, beyond everything that surrounds us, looking to Jesus. And whoever sees Jesus on the cross in faith will be healed at that very hour, as this hymn goes. There is no man who beholds Jesus in faith who remains as he is. But on the cross, we must see Jesus as the crucified one, as he bled to death for us and accomplished redemption by grace. There are many who speak of a historical Jesus who fits somewhere in history. We speak of Jesus Christ, who began the plan of salvation, who gave meaning and purpose to the plan of salvation, not history, plan of salvation, Jesus Christ, the center of the plan of salvation here on earth. As the singers sang the first song, I thought of 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1 to 3. I would like to read it before we pray. May I ask that we stand up for it? 1 John chapter 3, from verse 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And indeed we are. Amen. And indeed we are. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from our hearts we thank you for this day. May it be a day you have made for the lost to be saved, for the sick to be healed, and for your people to be blessed. A day when we may be glad and rejoice for your help in your presence. Beloved Lord, You know the various requests. You know about the questions, about the needs, about our brothers in the hospital. Lord, we ask you to be close to them. Bless Brother Anderek. Bless Brother Baza. Lord, bless all those who asked to be prayed for. Let the difference be made known between those who trust you and those who do not. Let us find grace before your face. Grant to the faith the divine authority and power which we have on account of your word and your name. O Lord, may the restitution become a divine reality in your church. I ask you now, faithful Savior, remove everything disturbing, everything hindering from my life, from all of our lives and hearts. Grant reconciliation with you, reconciliation with one another, connection with you and connection with one another, fellowship with you and fellowship of the Spirit with one another. Take out of us all misunderstandings. Take out of us all that grieves your Spirit. Make us reasonable children of God who are led by your Spirit. Lord, this gathering we place consciously under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb and ask you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know, I have some scriptures written down, but I don't know what to say. Lord, put the words in my heart, in my mouth, by divine inspiration and guidance of the Spirit. Give grace to speak and grace to hear. To you we commit this service and thank you that you will bless us and be with us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I ask that we now give all attention to the observation of the word. I would like to take up the word that we have already read. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And indeed we are. And if we are children, then we are also heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And because we are children, God has given the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, so that we too can call out, Abba Father. For me, these things are precious. We have been placed by God in a son and daughter relationship. Jesus, as the firstborn among many brethren, the Spirit came upon him when he, in obedience, stepped into the river Jordan, saying, so it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. When this was done and the baptism was administered, the heavens opened and the Spirit came down and remained on him, and the voice sounded, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I think it was on Pentecost Sunday or Pentecost Saturday. That's when I translated that precious sermon of Brother Branham, "The Lamb and the Dove." There was the Lamb of God. John had proclaimed, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here God has united with humanity. God, who is Spirit, laid claim to this earthly body that had to be given for our redemption. For look, Jesus grew older in the body. He increased in wisdom and grace before God and man. Thus it is written, according to his body he ate and drank. He was found in fashion like a man. He became weary. He became weak. He fell asleep. And the disciples said, "Lord, do you not care for us?" In his body he was mortal, and therefore he could die to restore us who were mortal to immortality. But so that this body would not be given over to decay and not remain mortal, but be transformed into an immortal resurrection body. God, as the Spirit, laid claim to this body. And listen to what is written in the letter to the Romans. This is also very important for all of us who want to take part in the rapture, that the Spirit of the One who raised Jesus from the dead must also dwell in our mortal bodies in order to then make them alive. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. It is so absolutely necessary that the Spirit of God takes dwelling in our mortal bodies. Someone asked me yesterday, and someone else today, what believers should think about cremation. And I have to say, in all honesty, I'm very deeply concerned about such questions, because I have absolutely no knowledge of even one believer arranging for his body to be cremated. And I think a greater mistake cannot be made by a believer concerning his body than to order that the body be burned. I think it is a direct crime against God and against the holy creation. When it is written in the Holy Scripture, and I read it to you so that you know, I was not prepared for this at all. But we have told the Lord, as He leads, so we take it from His hand. Man was not formed of ashes, but of earth. And from earth he was taken, and to earth he shall return. Have we clearly understood that? That no resistance may be found in the heart of a believer concerning such truths of the Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the soil of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. I only know of some who do not want to believe in resurrection, who want to see every memory of this life erased, that it was they who decreed that their bodies or the ashes that then remain should be scattered to the winds. But please admonish every believer not to do it or have it done. I read you, there are many scriptures, I'm sure, but I read you from 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, namely chapter 15, from verse 44, 1 Corinthians 15, from verse 44, it is sown a natural body. Did you hear what's written here? Not the urn, not the ashes, but the body. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. One could read on here. But let us also have concluded the subject by saying that truly believing people, if they belong to an unbelieving family, that before they go home in good time, they declare it as their last will and testament, under all circumstances, that they want a burial, as was customary many years ago, namely a burial of the mortal remains, which are then carried to the grave. Have I made myself clear enough? May God grant grace that we all take it to heart. Now I would like to go to a very special word, namely to Psalms 114. Psalms 114 as a bridge to the New Testament, to the New Testament church. You all know, we believe that God set an example through Israel as the people He chose, that in the New Covenant He chose a church from all peoples, tongues and nations. Psalms 114, it begins with the glorious word Hallelujah, and that means praise the Lord. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. Let us stop here for a moment. God had taken a people out of all other peoples. He met Abraham in Ur in Chaldea, on the other side of the river Euphrates, seen from here. He took him out of the pagan worship and confusion and made a covenant with him, has given promises and called a people into existence through Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, a people of Israel, with whom he made the covenant, to whom he had decreed and given the promises, the law, the commandments, everything. And he says, I think in Deuteronomy chapter 4, it should be. I wasn't quite prepared for that either. But here, it should be written that there was no other people that he had chosen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God, there is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. Then verse 39, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. And to it, also verse 33 and 34, did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live? Or has God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and so forth? Moses said to the people of Israel through the Spirit, you have seen it, you have heard it, you have become ear and eye witnesses of the revelation of the living God, who came down from heaven to this earth, on the earth, on the mountain. You saw the mighty fire. From heaven the voice sounded, and yet God was in heaven, and he was on the mountain. God can be omnipresent. People have such a hard time understanding that. They think that if he is in Zurich, he couldn't be somewhere in New York. God is omnipresent. He says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Do you understand what this means? Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. So he reaches from top to bottom. He fills the whole universe. and sustains it by His word. But He has a people in the Old and in the New Testament. A people in the Old, the people of Israel, called out from all peoples, tongues and nations. And in the New Testament, the Israel of God, the firstborn. Remember, when God brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, you can read it, Exodus 12, a lamb had to be slaughtered and the blood applied on the doorposts. And that's when the name church appeared for the first time. Until then, people or nation, but there the name appears, church. The blood of the Lamb flowed, and the Lord formed a church, a people representing His church to dwell in. Please hear this word again. When Israel came out of Egypt, Jacob's house, from the people of a foreign language, Judah became his sanctuary. Hallelujah. Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. Do you notice the difference? The dominion extended over a large area. There were 12 tribes altogether. But the sanctuary extended to Judah, not to all of Israel, to Judah. Israel, his dominion. Judah, his sanctuary. What was the promise prophetically given to the tribe of Judah? Probably Deuteronomy 49, if I am not mistaken. Out of you shall come forth to me. What did I just say? I mean Genesis 49. Out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is ruler in Israel. And here, what else is written here? I read Genesis 49 from verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? And now hear the prophecy. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Hear another verse, verse 11. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his colt to the choicest vine. Has he done it? You can read it. He said to his disciples, go and bring the donkey and the colt, and say, when you are asked, the Lord has need of them, and will send them back again. Have you all read it? In Matthew, what is it? Shall I read it too? I hope so. I'm speaking to people who don't just read the daily paper or listen to the news, but who are actually very knowledgeable in the Holy Scripture. Matthew 21, you can read it. The entry of Jesus in Jerusalem, it says in verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me, and so forth. You can read it yourself. Hear what it is all about. The Lord wants not only a universal church, not only a church as such, which he sees as his domain. He wants a bride within the church. He wants among the called, the elect, the predestinated, those who make up his sanctuary. And I will show you in a moment from the Holy Scripture who they are. We read again from Psalms 114, namely verse 3 and 4. You know what it is about. And then it says here, the sea saw it and fled. What did the sea see and flee? What? That the Lord God had chosen Israel as his dominion and Judah as his sanctuary. The sea saw it and fled. The river Jordan was driven back. Beloved, reading this word last Wednesday evening, it went through my marrow and bone. The sea saw it. The Egyptians saw it. The river Jordan saw it. The Amorites, Jebusites, and whoever they were, they came to know it. The whole environment witnessed it, that the God of heaven has a people on earth, and in the midst of his people, a core that was considered his sanctuary, where he could reveal himself. In verse 5, the question is then asked, what ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? I wonder too, Red Sea, what happened to you? What happened to you when you fled? What did you see? Why did you retreat so that the people of Israel could pass through on dry feet? Praise be to the name of the Lord. The sea saw it, that God had chosen Israel as his domain and Judah his sanctuary. I think here on the words of Brother Branham, and it's also written in a psalm and in the books of Moses anyway, that the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud over and again came down. And where did it come? To the entrance of the tabernacle. There, where the divine sanctuary on earth was. The tabernacle, the point of divine revelation and divine speaking with Moses. You remember the story of Moses, Aaron, Miriam, and so forth. The Lord said, today I will decide, gather at the entrance of the tabernacle. And then God says, if there is a prophet in your midst, then I will reveal myself to him through visions and dreams But with my servant Moses, it is not so. With him I speak face to face. There were people who had fellowship with God, and there were people who saw the visible revelation of God, and then it was the Lord. But we have gone through that, and we don't need to describe or explain that. God is spirit, and as spirit, no one has seen God. That's how it is written in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, in verse 19. When people saw God, they saw him as Lord, in the visible manifestation in which he walked in the Garden of Eden, appearing to Jacob, meeting Abraham under the terebinth, according to Genesis 18. But there were such people on earth, and you know it, when Moses, after the 40 days, came down from the mountain, his face shone with the glory of God. And it is written, they saw God, ate and drank in the presence of God. What are we concerned with today? I would have to ask the question the other way around. What is God about today? And what God is about must also be what you and I are about. We can only want what God wants. If we have not yet reached this state, then we should give ourselves the grace to reach it. What was it to thee, O sea, that thou fledst? The Lord looked down in the pillar of cloud and fire. He had given his word and said unto Moses, go, take the rod and lift it up over the sea, and I will divide it. And the Holy Scripture says so wonderfully, the water stood on both sides like a wall. Explain that to an atheist today. He will leave you standing, thinking we are a case for the psychiatrist. No, and again no. I have no trouble believing that God is all-powerful. He who created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, should he not be able to rule over them? God is God. He speaks and it is done. He commands and it happens. God's word can never return void. It accomplishes for what he sends it for. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs? And now listen, verse 7, tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. Let us see how God wants to dwell and where God wants to dwell in the New Testament. We have the promise, I will dwell among them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. It is probably 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, from verse 15 that gives us the context for this. And what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Have we understood the New Testament word that the Lord took from the old? I will dwell and walk among them, and will be their God. But this shall be manifest. The nations around us shall see it, the sea and the land. It shall be manifest that God not only made promises, but that He stands behind them and fulfills them. The question here is, how does the temple of God get along with idols? After all, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell and walk among them. Now listen, if we together form the temple of God, do you believe it? Do you believe that this is so? Then how does God want to walk? How is this to be seen? Where shall God dwell? Next to you? Next to me? No. In you. In me. Do we understand that? If we form the temple of God, then God cannot dwell outside us, outside the temple. He wants to dwell in the temple. And the temple of God is holy. And that is you. What a wonderful word. But this word must now become reality. And listen, in which context it is written. Namely, in the context, as said here, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, commandeth the Lord. Now I may surely ask, whether we have grasped the core of the end time message, not only the wonderful revelation about the oneness of God, that we have been transfigured by the Spirit, that God has revealed Himself in heaven as Father, on earth in the Son, and dwells in the believers through the Holy Spirit. But always, what concerns God, that He remains one and the same God, from eternity to eternity. God above us, God with us, God in us. But this is not all. To it come the biblical baptism, all the teachings that God has given us by grace. But now, you and I are asked and challenged. Now God addresses the word to those who are called out, that they make themselves available to Him and form the holy temple of the living God here on earth, a place where God can dwell. Individually, we are, as Paul says elsewhere, that our body is the temple of God, and whoever destroys the body, God will destroy. And together we form this divine sanctuary on earth. And now we come to the point. In all seven church age messages, in Revelation 2 and 3, the divine message is addressed generally to all believers. And then comes the admonition. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And those within a church age, to whom God gives the hearing, spiritual hearing, to understand and receive the spiritual, they are the ones who come out of it all to form the fellowship of saints, to be baptized into one body, not a charismatic movement that goes forth from an evangelist who himself goes his own way, who represents his own teachings and handles things the way they are handled everywhere. No, this word is addressed to those who have heard the last message, and we are living in the last age, who heard it, who believed it, and obeyed it, and who have come out according to the scripture from Revelation 18. Also this I would like to read, because Brother Branham referred to it over and again. Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. This is the time of calling out those sanctified by the word, cleansed by the blood, to form the sanctuary of God on earth, to become a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, so that God can dwell and walk and work among us in such a way that it can also be seen and heard. We are not content before that. And because God gave us promises in His Word, therefore we believe them. And because we believe them, therefore we shall see them fulfilled. Noticing that some are tired, I can't help but to make the comment that earlier, when I arrived at Zurich Central Station, I too heard the announcement, now we have arrived at Zurich Central Station, and lo, behold, I fell asleep. And then, when it was announced that the train to so-and-so is now leaving, I woke up, and of course I rushed out. But That doesn't mean that you can sleep here in the front. In the back, I can't see it. No train has stopped here. Here the train has left. Here we listen when the word of the Lord is preached. And whoever is tired, let him tell his neighbor that he will keep him in good spirits. How wonderful is God's word. Yes, the thought is good. God bless you. Let us return to the wonderful word, ye my people. And that is where the difference really becomes known. Who today does not say that he belongs to the people of God? When you hear the man of Islam speak, he says, or it says in the newspaper, he spoke to so and so many believers. What they believe is quite another matter, but it says to believers. If the man speaks from the city of the seven mountains, then he also speaks only to believers. And whoever speaks today speaks only to believers. There don't seem to be any unbelievers anymore. The whole world is somehow believing. And those who know James 3 well, they know very well that even the devil believes and trembles. That doesn't say anything yet. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, so we read it in the word of God. But also there I noticed the banner of a very successful Christian movement. Jesus is Lord. And if you read it carefully, it says, Jesus is the Lord. Most people don't notice the difference right away. Lord are many, but He is the Lord. And as Lord, He is God, manifested in the flesh, and could say, He who sees me sees the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The point here is that as in all church ages, a multitude of overcomers has come out, namely those who have listened to the word of the hour, who have received what was preached to them according to God's counsel in their days. They belong to the first resurrection. In the days of Moses, they could only believe what was then preached. In the days of Elijah, what was then preached. In the days of John the Baptist also. And already he says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, and the friend of the bridegroom hears the rejoicing of the bride. And he says, this my joy therefore is now fulfilled. And the blood was not yet shed. The new covenant had not yet been in force. But John knew that he had made the preparation, and that all who truly believed his message would follow the Lord and believe in him. For he did not prepare a people for himself, but for the Lord. This too I read to you with great joy from the Gospel of Luke. Probably it's Luke, chapter 1, from verse 16. Perhaps already the last part of verse 15. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Amen. This is the divine commission of the last message which we receive, which we may carry on to present a well-prepared people to the Lord. A people of whom it is written or can be said, and his bride has made herself ready. Here it's not about the church alone. It is about the bride who is called out of the church. And this bride of the Lamb forms the divine sanctuary here on earth and becomes the manifestation place of God. He will dwell and walk among us. I will prove this to you from the Holy Scripture, Revelation chapter 3, the last church age message. You can read it. I don't even have to do it. In the last church age, Christ is shown outside the door and knocks, right? And knocks. That is the condition of the last church age. Inside, they're singing, rejoicing, shouting, preaching, and, as it seems, mighty things are happening. But even this must be fulfilled, so that the Lord can say in that day, "Depart from me, I know ye not." We distinguish very clearly in these days where there is the church, where there is pious activity, where many things are being done, and between the bride who is called out, who has really understood what it is all about today, namely to agree with God and God's word, that our hearts would be prepared to serve and follow the Lord in obedience, that all inner reluctance would be taken away from us, and that neither men nor devils could convince us otherwise, but that we would actually know this is the absolute truth. I do not know whether you will understand this rightly, but Brother Branham once said, referring to himself, "Not I am the absolute, but my absolute is the word." I repeat the same with all my heart. Not a man who serves God or who preaches the word is your absolute, but yours and mine, our common absolute, is God and his holy word forever and ever. Do we understand this? Perhaps for clarification, we know that all who are of God will hear and accept the word for this hour. After all, I come to so many countries and places, and I have made remarks from time to time. I have witnessed time and again in the many past years how great renowned evangelists would stay behind the curtain. Imagine it like this. These two curtains would be drawn, and here in front, everything is done but introduction, and suddenly it is said, "Now it is my great privilege to introduce to you the man of God of the hour, the man of this hour, was always very impressive, but the man was not the man of the hour. He didn't have the word of the hour. He didn't have the revelation of the hour. He didn't have the divine message of the hour. If God sends a John as a man of the hour, then he had the word of that hour, of that day, at all times. And so I believe it also for this generation, without criticizing, but everyone is allowed to check. We have even been called upon to do so in the Holy Scriptures. If you go through the whole register of well-known people, you will find that they all baptize as all baptize, teach about the Godhead as all teach about the Godhead. And then if you go all the way to the end, then a holy frightening comes upon us. And Revelation 17 is before us. A mother with many daughters who have committed spiritual fornication against God and His Word. But there was a man of the hour who had to swim against the tide. And we are not ashamed of this, and say freely and openly, as surely as the Lord God called a Moses, an Abraham, an Elijah, a John, a Paul, and whoever it was, so the same Lord called our beloved brother Branham with an audible voice. The angel of the Lord not only came to Zechariah at the altar of burnt offering to give him the announcement of John the Baptist. He did not only come to Mary to tell her that she had found favor with God. He didn't just come to Daniel to tell him, "You are a much beloved man. When you began to pray, the word of the Lord came to me, and I was sent to you to give you information about what is to happen." It is written in Hebrews 1, in the last three verses, angels are ministering spirits sent forth for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. I believe it as surely as Brother Branham has said it, when he gave his testimony, saying, "I saw the light come into the room from above, and I looked into the corridor. Suddenly I saw the feet of him who had come. I looked up, and he said, his skin was dark complected, that is a very tiny tint, not exactly as we have it, as an Israeli has it, and described his weight as 200 pounds, his whole appearance." And Brother Branham was frightened, as if to death. And the angel of the Lord said, "Fear not, I am sent from the presence of God to give you the commission." I believe it with all my heart and with all my soul. But I believe even more. I believe that all who have despised this man of God and have passed by what God has done and are misleading others by the multitudes, that one day they will be called to account for it. When God sends a man, then it is written, as our Lord said, "If I then send a man, and he be received, he that receives him receives me, and he that heareth him heareth me. God has sent a binding message to His people in these days, a correction, an instruction, a calling out, a complete lining up with the Word of God, until finally we can form this divine sanctuary as a called out multitude, cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the word of truth, where all things that can so quickly arise are clarified. And here we come back to the word from 1 John 3. He that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. And the word from Revelation, let him who is clean cleanse himself still more, and let him who is holy sanctify himself still more, and let him who is unclean continue to be unclean. God wants, at the end of this age, and that indeed seems to be very near, I purposely did not want to go into the word of prophecy, because what use would it be to us if we could place all things and we did not let ourselves be placed and put together as the divine sanctuary? Then we could know everything, and personally we would only have the damage and the aftermath. The main thing now is not only to place things correctly as they take shape politically, but simply to understand this is God's hour for His people, the hour to put away all childhood diseases, to clear up all misunderstandings among ourselves. Sometimes it is the case that brothers and sisters are afraid to visit each other because they are afraid that this could cause some kind of distress. Disagreements can arise. Is it true or not? We still have some things to learn. We still have some things to set right. And it would be best if everyone could start with themselves. And here I come back to my slogan: he who is right in his heart will understand all things rightly. And sometimes you will have to let things pass that don't suit you at all. I say this now for their sake. It's an embarrassment for me, I admit quite honestly. But since I have died and am no longer alive, nothing can happen to me, my ego. I only have one aunt, and she is in her 80s, a Baptist by faith. At that time, during the 10 years, she listened to all the radio programs, and she always wanted to come. And behold, she came on the day of Pentecost to Krefeld. And what can I tell you? The biblical order is not taught in the churches. And this lady comes to the meeting with long trousers. And I thought I was going to be struck. That was just recently, when I told another lady very firmly that that was absolutely not right. And the lady to whom I recently said that under no circumstances can she come to the meeting like that, she asks me afterwards, "Tell me, who was that lady there?" And you can imagine, did you hear me? But to exonerate myself, I would like to say that I neither saw nor knew that beforehand. She wasn't with me, she was with other relatives. I would have taken her trousers off, I'm quite honest. I would have dressed her, that is just part of it. But I would have done it in love. Please don't get me wrong, you all understood that right. I would have told her very clearly, listen, here with us, it's so and so, and this has been missed by my sisters. I just hope that they don't hear that now. Otherwise, I've led them into a bad conscience. We don't want that. Why did I say that just now? To highlight the following. Please never become extreme. Never start from the outside, but let God work from the inside out. Sometimes we have to be ready to accept such humiliations and still carry the same love of God in our hearts. And I tell you this, at the next opportunity, the right thing will be said. And she has already set the course for it. She pressed my hands very much and said, and called me by my first name, and said, come to us quite soon. If I come there then the matter will be put right in love. Dear brothers and sisters, let us take care that we do not hurt anyone, that we do not cross anyone's lips, but that we can serve at the right time, with the right tone, in the right way, with the right scriptures, in the love of God. Who wants to be used by God in this way? Really, really, following the leading of the Spirit, and not just seeing what is in front of one's eyes, and then perhaps acting hastily and spontaneously, but waiting until the hour comes. But with regard to the political events of these days, let me read from Revelation 17, because that is simply part of it and fits into the development very wonderfully. Revelation chapter 17 from verse 14, maybe already verse 13, because it's all connected. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb. It's about the 10 horns. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Hear still a bit more in Revelation 17. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. No longer a mystery to us. If one thing has been revealed to us, it is this. And someone said to me, very well-meaning, or even asked, can you manage to preach a sermon without not grabbing the Antichrist? And that really seems to be the case. The last proclamation is ordained to put Christ in his divinity upon the lampstand, and the Antichrist as the one into whom Satan has entered. There is no other way to do it. And I'm also saying this quite openly. Whoever does not have Christ revealed to him in his divinity by the Holy Spirit will puzzle and puzzle over the Antichrist and never know who he is. The revelation of Jesus Christ is so dynamic and so powerful that it brings with it that we recognize his adversary and see through the adversary's doings and call them by name without being afraid. And someone may say, you are playing with your life. No, my life is no longer mine. Now I live no longer, but Christ lives in me. My brochure, The Antichrist, was translated into Polish. 1,000 copies were given away in a few weeks. But of course, there came a very powerful threatening letter and so forth. I don't want to mention details. The signature was, we Catholics. And people felt addressed. But please believe me, we don't want to hurt anyone. We just want to pass on information, divine information. Be honest. Who doesn't inform himself today? Today everyone is informed about everything. Everybody knows. Otherwise there will be gaps in education. But in the spiritual realm, nobody really wants to be informed. They all want to continue with the old tradition. We are destined to have been called out by God. We have come before the camp of every denomination and have the task of passing on the divine message of being called out to all who are still scattered everywhere but still inside. And here too I say, as Brother Brenham put it so wonderfully, we have nothing against the people, but only against the systems that enslave them, lead them astray, hold them as in a prison. And the time must come when these prison doors are also blown open. And for this it is necessary that Israel becomes the dominion, but Judah his sanctuary. That God can still address his word to the entire church, but that he can take out a chosen multitude and make them his sanctuary, who agree with him, agree with each other, have unclouded fellowship with God and also with each other. Can you believe that it is possible? I believe so. Sometimes we say, it's different mentality and these things. Forget the mentality. May our character, our mentality be sanctified by the presence of God. And then even different mentality will not cause distress. It will rather manifest the diversity of God. And we will be one heart, one soul, one spirit from all peoples, tongues and nations. We have put off national spirits to receive the Spirit of God. And by this one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. It was then that the sea saw it and drew back. May God, let the hour dawn where we not only speak of these things, where they are seen, not only we, that others should see it and feel it, and that it should be said, truly, God is in your midst. Can we believe that it will happen? Can we believe that He has chosen ones who are called out to form His sanctuary? God wants a sanctuary on earth. He wants to dwell and walk and reveal Himself in our midst. Let us please give Him the opportunity to do so from today. May this service be a consecration service, a sanctification service, in which we consciously pray, Lord, You have called us out for a very special purpose. Join us together. Sanctify us in Your truth. Cleanse us in Your blood. Make us Your sanctuary here on earth, an habitation of God through the Spirit. May the powers of sickness then see it and flee, and the power of sin see it and flee, that all that comes into the presence of God then sees this presence of God and draws back, and the victory of our God may be manifested all along the line to the glory of God. He who promised, He will do it. Praise be to our God, in Jesus' name, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. As we bow our heads, close our eyes, open our hearts, I would like to ask if there is perhaps someone in our midst who has not yet experienced Jesus Christ as personal Savior, perhaps does not yet have assurance of salvation, does not yet know of a day when the Spirit of God led to repentance, led to the knowledge of sin, and brought to a condemnation sentence within us. A person who wants to be pardoned must first understand that he has been rightfully condemned. We were born into this world separated from God, without God and without hope. But then, on Calvary, in Jesus Christ our Lord, God reconciled the world and with it all of us and many others to Himself. Before you can accept reconciliation, you must understand that you have lived with God in discord, in enmity, in strife. But He has taken away the enmity. He has torn up the letter of requirements. He has pardoned us and acquitted us. But it is important for a biblical conversion not just to come and say, Lord, here I am. That is also part of it. But first, to say, O Lord, I am guilty. My guilt has brought you there to the cross. You have taken my place in my stead. Lord, you have so loved me and borne my guilt and forgiven my sin. Lord, I come to you. That is the right attitude. If someone is condemned, put in prison, then he can be pardoned. That is how it is with all of us. Our Lord opened the prophet Isaiah and read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to the bound that they are delivered, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." We are still doing that today. Dear heart, young and old, come to the Lord, being aware we have all become guilty, and then again in faith, I was cleansed from guilt. I entered into joy. Eternally I praise Him, the Redeemer. Whoever would like to accept and experience this in faith today, please raise your hand now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you have seen the hands and also the hearts. We want to preach the full gospel and proclaim liberty, pardon, and salvation to those who are guilty, which we all are. Beloved Lord, whether the hands were lifted up for those concerned or for the sake of others, you know it, O God. Many who are close to us are dear to us. Oh, we would like them to come in before the door of grace closes. We beseech thee, all those whom you have given us, we would like to see again with you. All those who have loved us, all whom we have loved, all whom you have loved, O Lord, we wish to see again before you. Give us grace to accept them in faith as saved and to thank you for them. Form yourself a sanctuary, a church, a body, a temple in which you can dwell. Clean up, overturn the tables, chastise and call out into the midst of us. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Put an end, O Lord, to all discussions, to all dealings, to all misunderstandings, to all that goes on. Sanctify us, that we may become your sanctuary, for you are holy, and we shall be holy. Beloved Lord, may it please you to accomplish this sanctification on us now, and to deepen it from this day until we have been sanctified through and through, according to spirit, soul, and body. You said, "I sanctify myself for them, so that they too may be sanctified in truth." and you say, I am holy, and you shall be holy. Beloved Lord, and this you make us say through Peter, after he has said and written, you were not purchased with corruptible things, with silver or gold, but with the holy and precious blood of the Lamb. Beloved Lord, out of the holy can only come forth the holy again. And so mold us into your image. Do it by grace. And let us also recognize where we have to put off things, where our tongue has to be pruned. Take us from head to toe, our thoughts, our reflections, our words, our deeds, our hands, our eyes, our ears, our feet. Take us as a whole sacrifice. Do it today with all of us, O Lord. Do not let your word return void. I believe that it has accomplished and will continue to accomplish what you have sent it for. We thank you, the Almighty God, for the blood of the Lamb, for the Word of God, for the Holy Spirit. May you be mighty at work in your sanctuary, which is coming into being within the entire church, and may you be in our midst in such a way that it is seen and experienced. Walk and dwell among and in the called out multitude to the glory and honor of your name. Lord, I feel your presence. You are here, O God. You are here. And you call out to us, I have redeemed you. I have called you out. I have sanctified you. Accept it. Be penetrated and walk in obedience according to the word of God. Beloved Lord, we pray for all in Austria, in Switzerland, in Germany, and especially in the USSR and in all Eastern Bloc countries. We pray for Mr. Gorbachev. We pray for Mr. Reagan and for all other heads of state and governments, because it is written that we should do it, whether they suit us or not. One thing we know, you can install and remove kings. You are God in heaven and on earth below. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Your will be done. Now and forever. Amen.